Fred, if you would, just to start the conversation, tell us about the work you do at Think New Mexico and about this year's set of goals.
Yeah, well, Think New Mexico is a results-oriented think tank serving New Mexicans. We're a little bit different than most of the think tanks your listeners may be aware of that are either way, way over on the left or way, way over on the right. We just believe in a state that's 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings that the focus should be on solutions rather than political ideology. And consistent with that, we have a board of directors made up of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. We're best known for getting a law to repeal the tax on groceries and to make full-day kindergarten accessible to every child in New Mexico. And this year we've been looking at what we call a hidden crisis, which is how little so many New Mexicans have saved for their retirement. About 62% of New Mexicans have nothing saved for their retirement, and about 80% have $10,000 or less. So too many New Mexicans are going to try to make it on Social Security alone, and the average benefit in this state is only about $14,000, and you need about twice that, according to the Federal Department of Labor, to subsist for food and shelter, health care that's not provided by Medicare, and so forth. So it's an urgent issue that we think needs to be addressed, and we've got three different bills circulating in the legislature this year to address it.
And Fred, I understand one of those bills is one that would reduce or even repeal the state's income tax on Social Security benefits, New Mexico being one of only 13 states that do tax Social Security income, kind of double taxation. Tell us about this bill, Fred.
Yeah, so this, as you pointed out, Tom, we're one of only 13 states that taxes Social Security. Of those 13, we're the second heaviest in the sense of how deeply we tax Social Security benefits. And it really doesn't make any sense when you think back on why Social Security was created. It was to supplement the income of seniors. Back then, in the heart of the Great Depression, about half of seniors were living in poverty. Now that number's been knocked down to about 12%, and I think the effectiveness of the Social Security program is why it's so popular. And it was never designed to be taxed. The first time it happened in New Mexico was 1990, and it was a one-line provision in a very complicated 30-page bill, and it was stuck in on page 29. There was no debate about it. We went back and looked at newspaper coverage. There was no coverage. I suspect many legislators back then didn't even know it was in the bill. So it sort of passed in a sneaky way, and it's been there for 30 years. And as you point out, it's a double tax in the sense that when you earn money, you're taxed on what you earn, and some of that goes to Social Security even before it hits your bank account. And now, since 1990, New Mexicans are taxed again, hence it's called a double tax, on their benefits. So we think it's just wrong, especially in a state where so many people have so little saved for their retirement and are in jeopardy of outliving their savings.
Fred, you have there are a variety of bills that would accomplish either reducing or repealing this double taxation. Tell us about the separate bills that are being entertained in the Roundhouse.
Yeah, there have already been six bills introduced, and we're heartened that they've been introduced by both Democrats and Republicans in both the House and the Senate, and that Speaker Brian Egoff has noted that this issue has gained a lot of traction, and he says he's 100% behind it. And they really fall into two categories. There's three bills that would just simply repeal the tax altogether. And then there's three bills that exempt part of the tax. So, for example, Representative Damon Eli has a bill that would exempt the first $24,000. Senator Padilla from Albuquerque has a bill that would exempt the first $25,000, and Senator Campos from Las Vegas has a bill that would exempt the first $30,000. And Social Security benefits, just so the listeners understand, can go up as high as about $45,000. So this is an attempt to get the tax off of low- and middle-income people, but still generate some money for state government from those who are wealthier. But, you know, the remarkable thing is I was just reading an article that suggested it used to be that you should ideally have about $1 million socked away for your retirement, and at 4%, that would produce about $40,000. And that's what you sort of needed for at least a comfortable retirement with your Social Security benefits added on. But this article suggested that the new number should be even higher than that. And when you think about the number of New Mexicans that are in that category, it's about 2%. So what we're hoping is that we pass something this year and give some relief to seniors, because there's really very few people that don't need this help that live in New Mexico.
And Fred, you're right about the bipartisan support the concept has. One bill is sponsored by Catherine Brown from Carlsbad, and she's a Republican, and she would repeal that bill. House Bill 29, I understand, would just repeal the state's tax on Social Security entirely. House Bill 130 from Representative Gail Armstrong, an Albuquerque Democrat, would repeal that. And Senate Bill 81 from Republican Senator Jim White would also do the same thing. Do these have a realistic chance of passing this session, do you think?
I really believe they do. I think there's an enormous groundswell of New Mexicans that are advocating for this. We've gotten support all across the political spectrum, and some, you know, some big players too. The Bankers Association, the Home Builders. There's a group here in Santa Fe that's interested in creating a public bank, and they're not pushing it this year, but instead they're working to help us repeal this tax on Social Security, or at least reduce it. So we've got broad support across the spectrum, and I think it was a sleeper issue when the session started, but it continues to gather more and more momentum. So we're cautiously optimistic.
Fred, another piece of legislation Think New Mexico is working on is the New Mexico Work and Save Act. Tell us about that concept, that bill.
Yeah. So only about 40% of New Mexicans, actually slightly less, have access to a private retirement account at work. That's the lowest in the nation, and frankly, no state's doing really well. Minnesota's first, they're at about 60%. But ideally, you'd want 100% of private sector workers to have access to some private retirement account because, of, as we discussed, Social Security was never designed to be your entire source of income in your retirement. It was always designed to be a supplement. So this is patterned really after the 529 plans that some of your listeners may be aware of, which is a way to save for your children's college tuition. And the concept is to try to make it easier for businesses to sign up their employees, and the state would run a program, a very simple and basic program using target retirement accounts. And the reason why I think we're so low is because in New Mexico we have so many small businesses where the owners are so strapped, they're just trying to keep the doors open and meet payroll, and this takes this weight off their shoulders, and all they have to do is sign up their employees through automatic payroll deduction. And what's interesting about that is people are 15 times more likely to save for retirement if they can do it through an automatic payroll deduction, where they don't really actually see the money and pretend that it's not there, and they're not tempted to spend it on something else. So this is something about four or five states have pioneered, Oregon and Maryland most recently, and it's really been very effective in getting more people saving for their retirement. And the thing that excites me is that, you know, we have this haves and have-not concept in America where it just seems that the wealthier are getting wealthier quicker, and those that have less really are struggling to keep up. And when you think about why this is, The top half, or about 55% of Americans, have some exposure to the stock market, generally through a retirement account. And the stock market, on average, of course it's very volatile, has gone up an average of about 10% per year. Last year it was close to 30%. Then you look at the 45% who aren't invested in the stock market. Their assets are generally under their mattress or at a bank where maybe they're making 1% or 2% that doesn't even keep up with inflation. So this is really an opportunity, and this is really targeted at that 45%, which is actually a larger statistic in New Mexico, and getting those folks access to the stock market where over many years their money can compound, and we can reduce this enormous wealth gap in our country and give everybody an opportunity to save for retirement.
Fred, earlier in our conversation, you noted that New Mexico is 49th or 50th if in so many categories we'd prefer to be one or two or three in. New Mexico, I understand, currently leads the nation in the percentage of workers who lack access to work-based retirement savings plans. So this bill solves that. Who would manage the IRA, so to speak, the individual retirement accounts set up by the New Mexico Work and Save Act?
That's a great question, Tom. So it would be set up at the state treasurer's office, and the state treasurer would have a board assisting him or her in the future, hopefully. And they would then contract with one of the bigger companies like Fidelity or Thornburg or Vanguard to create probably target retirement accounts. These are accounts that diversify your investments based on your age. And so you'd really not need to know a lot about investing, and you just select it based on your age. And so it would be more conservative as you were. If you're older, a little more aggressive if you're younger. So it's a very safe and smart way to invest money for your retirement.
House Bill 44 is the New Mexico Work and Save Act. Sponsors are Representative Tomas Salazar, Representative Gail Armstrong, Representative Christine Chandler from Los Alamos, and Senator Bill Tallman from Albuquerque. I understand it had a very favorable committee review early on in the session.
That's correct. And also Senator Michael Padilla is also on the bill. It was passed unanimously by the House Labor Committee. And it next goes to House State Government, where it'll have a hearing tomorrow. So it's moving at a pretty good clip, and we're excited about that.
Fred, another issue Think New Mexico is on this session is increasing the qualifications for PERA pension board members. PERA, of course, is the Public Employee Retirement Association, the big state pension. You just came out and said it on your website. The PERA board is completely dysfunctional, kind of like ripping up a speech on the dais of the House chamber last night.
Yes. So this is a board that oversees $16 billion, with a B, worth of investments for about 90,000 state government workers, local government workers, and some retirees. And the board has been historically pretty dysfunctional. And it's remarkable, though, that when the legislature set up this board, they didn't require any real qualifications. So no one on this board that's overseeing so many investments for so many people in New Mexico, none of them are required to have any financial or investment experience, which is what you would expect to see on a board like that. And, they've had some real problems. The New Mexican profiled it on page one about a month ago. About a year ago, they had a meeting where they spent about 7 minutes debating the quality of the snacks that are provided to them by staff. And they were very critical about the service, as they called it, that they were receiving from their staff. Last month, they had a board meeting where one board member accused another board member of physically assaulting her and stealing her iPhone, at which point the accused board member brought out a police report that said that he had merely been rude. At that point, the accuser stood up and said she was leaving to deny the board a quorum for a meeting that was held at the behest of the Attorney General and the state auditor, who wanted the board to revise their policies and procedures and bring them up to a modern standard. So I think that speaks volumes to the level of dysfunction. And this isn't to say, you know, if you got people on there with MBAs and so forth, that they wouldn't have arguments. But they'd be much more likely, I think, to focus on the real issues at hand, which is investment returns. And in that regard, there was a recent study that looked at all the public pensions in the United States, and it found that, on average, pension funds with qualified board members tended to outperform by 1% to 2%. And when you think about the amount of money that the PERA is investing right now, $16 billion, 1% of that is $160 million. And our point is that's some pretty low-lying fruit for a fund that's underfunded, or this pension fund is underfunded by about $6.6 billion. So they need to find ways to improve their performance. And we think this would be a good place to start. And I think it's complementary with some of the things that the governor is proposing to get these pension funds back on a path to solvency.
That's quite the story about the board members and debating snacks and interpersonal disputes. Senate Bill 201 is the measure sponsored by Gallup Senator George Munoz and would change or restructure the PERA board in several ways. Tell us about the qualifications it seeks for PERA board members now.
Well, what Senator Munoz's bill would do is make sure that everyone on the board has some sort of financial background and would make that a requirement. The current statute is sort of a hodgepodge, and this completely revamps it and would have all the state and local constituencies represented on the board. However, now they would have to be versed in finances. And, you know, there's a lot of state employees and local employees that have MBAs or financial backgrounds, so there'd be plenty of people to choose from that I think would be willing to serve.
Where does that bill, Fred, stand in the legislative process now?
Yeah, it hasn't had its first hearing yet, but we're optimistic. Its first hearing would be in Senate Rules, and then I believe it goes to Senate Judiciary. So I'm optimistic that that bill will pass as well.
Very good. Fred, we're running out of time. What else should listeners know about Think New Mexico's efforts to beef up personal retirement accounts in the state of New Mexico and actually let elderly New Mexicans retire as opposed to work till they die?
Exactly. Well, if they're interested in learning more about these issues, I would encourage them to go to our website at www.thinknewmexico.org and then click on the Action Center, which will give them more information and also give them the ability to contact their legislators via email. And you don't even need to know who your legislators are. If you type in your address, the computer will tell you who your state senator and who your state rep are, and also make it possible to contact the governor and lieutenant governor about these issues.
Fred Nathan is Executive Director and Founder of Think New Mexico. Fred, as always, thanks for your time on KSFR today.
And thank you for having me back, and I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks.
Have a great day. 27 and a half minutes now after 8 o'clock on KSFR's Wake Up Call. Local news comes now.
This is KSFR News. Good morning.